And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all are talking about this show? Whew. Goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm going to the phones right now, right off the bat, and I'm bringing in somebody who I count as a friend. He's just a great guy, does a great work. Greg Davis is the president and CEO of ALCAP. If you're not familiar, it's the Alabama Citizens Action Project. I'll let him tell you more about them as an organization. He's also, by the way, the host of Priority Talk, which those of y'all that listen to us on our Birmingham affiliates know that his show comes on right after ours, does a great job in Priority Talk every afternoon. And so that's enough of me talking. Greg Davis, how you doing?
We're very good, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for making time. I was joking with Greg off the air. And I said, thanks for making time, especially with me texting you at like 6 o'clock this morning. So so thank you for that.
Hey, that's the way that's the way radio happens. If you're going to be covering current news, then it happens in real time.
No doubt. Hey, listen, I thought it might be beneficial. Tell folks what ALCAP is in case they're not familiar. I used to see you guys all the time when I was down in the State House, but give us the quick skinny on that.
Yeah, well, ALCAP really represents churches here in the state of Alabama to Montgomery. We're the sort of the representatives for the churches. You know, every industry has people that are there that look out for their interest and speak up, for their values and what they're about. And I'm basically there to speak out for the churches and for pastors. And there's no one else there that does that. Not saying there's not other Christian groups there, because there certainly are, because we coordinate with them. But I'm the only, really pastor that's there. So, we represent churches.
Well, and you took over just in the last few years, I know, but great legacy there, great people always. And I appreciate the work that y'all have done for so many years. And then you on Priority Talk, it's kind of cool that we're both on the same networks. But let me ask you about something. So I can't tell you how many times I had the honor of opening the Alabama Senate in prayer. We open in prayer in the State House and the State Senate with every single day, not just the session, but the day,
right.
And the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, this past week, story on 1819 News I'm looking at right now, I did not know until I saw this story that the Alabama House of Representatives chose to kick off the National Day of Prayer with Hindu prayer. And I thought that was out of usual sorts, and I thought I'd get your opinion on it.
Yes, they did. Last Thursday, first Thursday in May, was the National Day of Prayer. And I'll say, ALCAP, we host a prayer breakfast every Thursday morning in Montgomery during the session. And we had a big crowd that morning, and really some very heartfelt prayers and devotion, and very good. I know there was another meeting like that in town. So there's a lot of good things happening. But we had heard that I think a lot of the members of the House, and I'm like you, I've opened the Senate and I've opened the House in prayer multiple times. So, I've been there, stood at that podium, and led in prayer, and it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah, it is.
But we had heard that apparently there were Hindus that had been requesting to open in prayer in the House of Representatives, and apparently many of the members found out on Wednesday that was going to happen on Thursday. And, I had quite a few speak to me about it, what I thought about it. And, many of them told me, they said, well, I think I'll just step out, not be in the room at that time. And I'll say, I think a good many did so. So, the fact that I knew it was coming, I walked up and was in the gallery. I missed the introduction. When I came in, they were, I think, just beginning to sort of lead in this, prayer and chanting. And I don't know all the technical terms for the Hindu religion. But there was a man and a woman, and, he would, I think, read some scriptures or something. I couldn't understand what he was saying. And then there was a lady there that would interpret or say it, I guess, where we could understand it, what he was saying. But it certainly was odd in that it was different and it was than usual. And it was disturbing because, I think it brought about a great bit of anxiousness, in the State House and in the room. There were, there were many supporters there, Hindu supporters that were there, which they're welcome to be in the State House and be there just like anyone else is. But I haven't talked to anybody who ever remembers this happening before. in the Senate or the House. Now, maybe it has. I haven't come across anyone that remembers a different, religion opening in prayer other than a, someone representing a Christian or a Christian denomination. So it was certainly interesting. And then, after that was over, the Hindu prayer, and I could tell Speaker Ledbetter kind of thought it was going to be over a time or two, and it kind of kept going. And then once I think they finished up, he made an announcement that since it was the National Day of Prayer, that they were going to have prayers from, I think he said, all religions or something to that effect, religions. And he called on one of the representatives. She's Catholic. She came and offered a prayer. Then he called on one of the representatives who's Jewish, and he was not in the room, apparently, or didn't come forward. And then he had two kind of mainstream evangelical Christians to pray, and they did so as well. And then one of those got up following and made a statement to the effect of, this was kind of neat or something like that. I don't think neat wasn't the word, but one day we'll get to heaven and be surprised who's there, some things like that. And then that sort of ended it, but people were kind of left like with their jaw hanging open. Many people in the gallery were sitting during the prayers, and then they went to go do the national anthem following the prayers, or as you mentioned, or the Pledge of Allegiance, excuse me, and then a lot of other people stood up. So it was really an odd situation, very, very uncomfortable, I think, for many people.
Well, I know that you and I share the notion, like you said a moment ago, that we're not saying they're not allowed in the people's house, and I'm really, even though I think it's awkward, we're not saying that they're not allowed to pray in the people's house. But I think one of the things that really gets my attention on this, Greg, and here's where I'm trying to find the way to verbalize how I feel about it. First of all, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I believe He's the way and the truth and the life. And so that is my faith. That is where I stand. And I make no bones about it. And I know you don't either. But I look at this and I think, okay, but this is the people's house, and it was the National Day of Prayer, and we're in a state where the Hindu religion would be negligible in its overall representation, I would think, and yet that's what they chose to do. I don't understand. I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand the speaker's thinking as that being the leadoff for the day of prayer. Even if it came in on another day, I guess I'd be going, wow, okay. But to say this is the National Day of Prayer, and here in Alabama, where the Christian faith, whether it be in mainstream Protestantism or evangelical churches or in Catholicism, the Christian church is the representative faith, I would say, largely of the most of Alabama, and yet that seemed to take second fiddle.
Yeah, and I know that there had been this Hindu group that had been requesting to come and lead prayer. I had heard about it even last year. So I knew there had been a push there for it. I don't know that there's been other quote-unquote religions pushing to open in prayer, but I would imagine now that the Hindus have accomplished this with, I think, maybe like 0.3% of the population, I would imagine that you're going to see a lot of other quote-unquote religions pushing to get their time as well at the well in the state house. And unfortunately, when this happens and if there's a backlash from Christians saying, no, we shouldn't be recognizing what Christians would call a false religion, a false god or gods, quite honestly, with Hinduism, I think the knee-jerk reaction is once you start down that path, it's to say, oh, well, we'll just stop all the prayers then because we don't want to have to accommodate everybody, so we'll just stop praying. And that's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, it is.
Our state house has a very open feeling toward prayer. Many of the committees that meet will open in prayer. Sometimes I'll be in the room just sitting there, and they know me as the pastor, and I'll just be in the room, and they'll say, Greg, will you come up and just open us up in prayer? And I do that. All the meals that are served, if you're with a group of legislators at caucus meetings or different things like that, there's very much a Christian praying atmosphere there. And I'm afraid that, once you kind of open this up, the knee-jerk could be to go the other direction.
Well, and I've seen that in my own time, being in full-time ministry with Young Life, just like you used to be with First Priority. Young Life, I'd go to see kids. And if I went to the school, I remember I had one school where the principal, he said, I can't let y'all in because if I do, I have to let the Satanists in. And I thought that was a weird thing to say. But then I had another school said, I am letting you in. You know why? Because I believe in what you believe in, and I know my kids need to hear it. So come on in, fellas, and just you know, let's just do what we got to do. And if the Satanists ever try to come in, I'll deal with it then. So I look at it and think, okay, it's really a matter of leadership here. It's not a matter of, well, we got to do. But I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid they'll defer to that because I've seen that kind of weak-kneed argument made before in order to avoid the conflict. But the reality is sometimes you just have to take a stand, and that's called leadership.
Yeah, and let's not forget that, you know, a few years back, Alabama did legalize the teaching of yoga in our public schools. And I know a lot of people probably just think yoga is stretching, but it's a practice of Hinduism. And, you know, there was nothing illegal about stretching already. We legalized yoga for a reason. There was an agenda behind that. And so, you know, once you start down that path and, you know, a few years later, here we are, Hindus are opening the state house in prayer. It's a slippery slope to go down. It certainly is. And I think a lot of people were uncomfortable with it. I think there were a lot of others who weren't uncomfortable with it, though. I think there were a lot of members who thought it was kind of a beautiful thing to see all, you know, interfaith prayer time. And I think there was some of all of it. But it certainly was odd in that it was different. It was unusual. And it did cause a lot of anxiousness for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think the fair point is, too, like you said, if people weren't comfortable, they were allowed to leave the room. It wasn't like everybody had to stand there and be a part of the moment. They had the choice as members of the body to choose not to be there that moment. And a lot of them elected to do so.
I think a good many were not in their field, but I was a little surprised at the number who were in there. I thought, when I heard that it was happening and the members were aware, and I had a few tell me, I'm not going to be in there, I had a feeling the room may be mostly empty, but it was not. It was a normal audience, I would say, for the opening prayer.
All right. Well, good enough. Well, listen, I just thought it was you were there firsthand. I thought you telling us what you saw. It's a tightrope to walk, and at the same time, that's what leadership is for. Listen, man, I appreciate you. If you want to tell folks how to find out more about ALCAP or your own show, say it right now. Where are you at?
Yeah, ALCAP.com, ALCAP.com, and PriorityTalkRadio.com. As Phil said, we come on right after him on some of the stations. So 101.1 at 5 o'clock, just following this program.
All right, man. Well, have a great show tonight, and I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Phil.
See ya. All right, yeah, that was I don't know how to describe it, except it just feels odd. And I look at it and go, okay, it's America. I get that. I'm not immune to the idea that there are going to be other beliefs that are differing than my own. But I look at it as the National Day of Prayer, and that's how they chose to lead off in such a way that a number of other members of the body chose not to be there. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Let's do that. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Jumping on in, Dipper number one, y'all, down to the wire. What kind of things are happening in Montgomery, or for that matter, not happening? And then coming up, top of the hour, Todd Stacy's going to be with us from Alabama Daily News. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Jeremy from Huntsville just texted in. He says, I got a friend from India, and he mocked Hinduism by saying he has no respect for someone that, okay, I'm not going to read all that out. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it. I don't want to just flat and blatantly insult their religion on the air. Ken from Rimlap says, hey, Greg Davis. So apparently he knows Greg Davis. He's a good dude. Marcus from Huntsville says, sounds like even our Christian conservative state, there are people that want a virtue signal by putting the voices of a super minority above the voices of a super majority of the actual people of the state. He said, too many people in this country don't understand that after 20 years of being in Afghanistan, not once did the Afghan people say a Christian prayer over their loudspeakers, knowing that is the majority religion of our country. I highly doubt they would start off the National Day of Prayer in India with a Christian prayer either. I suspect that's true. Anyway, there you have it. Hey, listen, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper, and I include that in it because that was this number one is called Down to the Wire. We're in the final days of the legislative session. And just to remind you guys, the legislative session, I know I say it before, but some of y'all may not have been tuned in at the exact same time I said it, so I'll say it again. The Alabama legislature, much like other state legislatures, is considered part-time. All these folks have other jobs. Now, Charlene and I jokingly called it my full-time, part-time job. And she swore that even though I was there for 8 years, that political years should be measured like dog years, and therefore I was in for 35 years. But nonetheless, because it's part-time, they only come into session periodically, and they cannot come in whenever they feel like it. They can only come in when they are either A, called in by the governor for a special session, which only happens once in a while, or B, at the regularly scheduled time, which is known as the regular session. And when the regular session happens, I believe, and I'm going from memory, I believe they get, I think it's 105 calendar days to do 30 days of legislative work, which really is a lot more than that because that doesn't count committee meetings and everything else. 30 days actually on the floor of the House or Senate passing bills. That's where we are. We're in the final two of those 30 days for 2024. They're about to be done. At that point, they will have the magic words that a motion is made to adjourn sine die, which is Latin for it is finished or at the completion. Anyway, a couple things that are happening that's still pending right now. What's going on with the gambling bill? Well, it's flat stalled, and we'll talk about more of that with Todd Stacey after the top of the hour. I can also tell you there's a few things, though, that are interesting. Like, for instance, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall said he was actually surprised that the Lake and Riley Act is not going to be voted on by the legislature before the session ends. Yellowhammer News has this story. Our buddy Yaffe wrote it. So introduced by State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, this is the legislation that that deals with the same issue we saw with regards to the young lady Lake and Riley over in Georgia, who was murdered by an illegal alien. And the bill would allow local law enforcement to partner with federal immigration to enforce federal immigration and customs laws. It was basically binding. You wouldn't have sanctuary cities. Why that became controversial, I have no idea. But apparently in the House, they could not move the Lake and Riley Act, and I find that to be a bit surprising given today's political climate. And then they have this. This just happened. The Alabama House has approved mandatory response times for public records. So if you're not familiar, this has been a big deal for the press. The press issues what they call a public records request or a FOIA request, and they want an answer. Well, the state agencies sometimes will dither and kind of have their time, and they'll get around to it, and they'll make it tough for you. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are times when you can contest a FOIA request, like if you're proving it's just for the purpose of harassment, or if you're proving it's for the purpose of, you know, trying to interfere with state contracts to give yourself a leg up on something. That's different. But in generally speaking, public records are public records. State Senator Arthur Orr had Senate Bill 270, and it passed 101-0 in the House. Bipartisan, boom, came on through. It should be going to the governor now. It puts two categories in place for the records, and it sets a standard that employees have to deal with those FOIA requests within 8 hours, a standard working day. And a time-intensive request, maybe even quicker. I think that's pretty interesting. We'll see where it goes. Meantime, we're going to take a break, come right back. Todd Stacey's calling in from Alabama Daily News. We'll get his thoughts on where we're headed because he's been down there in the mix. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.
Right Side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Just had a great conversation there with Greg Davis, President and CEO of ALCAP, host of Priority Talk. And now we're going to go on to somebody else who I had a chance to get to know some while I was in Montgomery, and he's been doing great things with his own news source, Alabama Daily News. So Todd Stacey is the publisher of Alabama Daily News. You can find him online. He's also the host of Public Television's Capital Journal, which airs every Friday night. Todd Stacey, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, thanks for making some time.
You bet.
Hey, so let me ask you this. I mean, we're down to the wire. That's what I'm calling this section of the show, is down to the wire. And, I mean, we can talk about any number of things, budgets or whatever else, passing record budgets. But one of the things that really struck me is that people are still wondering what's happening with the gambling bill. I mean, right now, is it dead? Is it not dead? It's dead. No, it's not dead. It's the zombie legislation. And you had Greg Allbritton, Senator Allbritton, who was the deciding vote that seems to have killed it last week on Capitol Journal. What's your sense of things, man?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question because, you know, around this time last week, we were asking ourselves the same thing. And you may have heard, you know, Mary Sell and I did a podcast where we basically said, yeah, this thing is all but dead. You know, should we call the coroner? And then that very next day, it rose again and we got some renewed life out of conference committee. And so the conventional wisdom changed again. Well, okay, if they've got this compromise bill and they passed it through the House really quickly, they must have the votes in the Senate. That was kind of conventional wisdom shifting. Then it goes to the floor. And you know, Phil, very well that you don't typically put bills on the floor unless you know you have the votes. And they didn't. They fell one short. And so, you know, where does it go from here? I agree with you. Greg Allbritton was a decisive vote. Now, he says, he told me on Capitol Journal that his vote did not surprise anybody in that chamber. The leadership and his caucus was all aware that he was a no vote because of whatever, you know, his personal and maybe more district-based concerns. So there must have been others that they thought were yes votes that turned to no votes. So where do we go? I mean, they can always bring it back up. That could happen tomorrow, it could happen Wednesday, it could happen Thursday. They could, if they wanted to, send it back to a conference committee to work out whatever gets Greg Allbritton's vote. I see that as pretty unlikely. But unless they can peel off someone from the no column and put them in the yes column, I don't think this thing is coming back up.
Well, that's kind of been the sense, but, you know, you hesitate to ever bet against gambling. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how many times I would hear, like during my tenure down there, when Del Marsh was the pro tem, hear him say something like, look, here's the deal. We're going to give it an up or down vote. You either get your votes in order or your bill's going to die. And he wanted it over with. So he would just stick it on the floor and we would vote and let the chips fall where they may. And yeah, I couldn't help but wonder if maybe that was part of what happened, if they knew they didn't have the votes, but they were tired of it sucking the oxygen out of the room.
That probably has something to do with it, but I've talked to several who were just very surprised that they didn't have the 21, and at least maybe it wasn't a lockdown guarantee, but that they thought it was about to pass. And these are obviously those on the pro side. You got to remember it's a very different Senate than it was 4 years ago before the last election, and that the biggest evidence of that is what happened on gambling.
Well, okay, so never a dull moment on the issue of gambling. And I tell you what's been funny is, and I've seen this before, I don't want to spend all our time on that, Bill, but I've seen it before, the gambling interests are their own worst enemy. The reason why the bill they want so badly never passes is because of them, not because of outside forces generally. I take it back. There's been great counter to the bill. There have been great effort on the parts of conservative groups like API and Eagle Forum and ALCAP and others. But the gambling interests are also their own worst enemy, still, nonetheless. We'll wait and see, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, because they can't all align, and this is about as close as they've come to aligning. But that, you know, that's after they threw out the sports betting part.
Yeah.
So I guess you can't say they were aligned. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Porch Creeks did not like this. They saw it. You know, they didn't gain another casino location as in the previous plans they would have. And also this video poker / electronic games of chance.
Yeah.
I think that is a lot more expansive than it sounds like. Ooh. That just sounds like what they've had for years, you know, but you could have, you know, think about the advancements in technology. Think about AI.
Oh, yeah.
And you could have kind of a dealer-free, card-free table games and casinos. I think they saw that as a real threat to their interest in the industry. And so if the Porch Creek is not on board, it seems like it might be hard to pass a full-fledged gambling bill.
Hey, last question on the issue. I've even heard somewhat firsthand that the governor's office has been really like kind of coming across the street with a little notebook and keeping tabs on people who voted no and sort of strong arming. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, and I don't know if you'd use the word strong arming. They're certainly trying to use their influence, you know, the governor's popularity and her influence to try to get to a yes on this. She obviously supports the plan. And that's just part of politics. I mean, if it was the president and Congress, you do the same thing. That's just part of what you do. I know that when I was in the governor's office, we did everything we could. The roles were reversed. We did not want expansive gambling plans. The governor did not want that. And so we used every tool in the toolbox we could to try to stop that from happening. So I've heard about some mention of, okay, here are the projects that, you know, these grant projects that are coming through. Just remember who approves these. You know, is that a strong arm tactic? I don't know, but it's politics.
that's the one where I would be saying, great, let's go have a press conference. You can tell them all about it.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, hey, brother, let me ask you, with about 4 minutes left here, what do you see the last couple of days? I mean, this is, and I used to always say bad things happen in the Senate when love breaks out. But then again, nothing happens if you don't have a little love. So what do you see in the legislature in the last couple of days that you think is going to move that still hasn't moved?
There's a couple of things I'm watching. Number one is the education budget.
Right.
The House unexpectedly voted to go to a conference committee on that. So, I mean, that's the largest pot of money the state deals with. So the fact that it's not finished yet, and there might be some more changes, has everybody wondering what's going on. The other would be ethics. You know, Representative Matt Simpson has written this pretty ambitious ethics code rewrite. The Attorney General's not on board. Ethics Commission is really against it. And so we're hearing about maybe a changed bill in the Senate that might emerge. The pro tem had something to say about that. So definitely looking for that. And maybe one that flies under the radar a little bit, we reported on it in the Daily News today, and that is this workers' comp plan for education workers. I think it's something most people would figure education workers would have some kind of workers' comp plan, but they don't. It all goes through the state's Board of Adjustment. So this is something that people are saying, well, yeah, we should have some kind of workers' comp, but there might be some real large hidden costs and maybe lawsuit abuse territory going on in this.
Yeah.
And so amendments are being made, changes are being made, and you'll see that in the House this week.
Wow. Okay. I hadn't seen that one at all, so that one's not been on my radar. So you're right to say it's been off the radar for a lot. All right. Listen, and the issue of the House taking the education budget to the conference committee, is that a power play because the Senate didn't pass their gambling bill? Right now, the only constitutionally mandated thing they've got to do is pass budgets.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been, but, I mean, it's not like Arthur Orr was the problem there, you know?
Yeah.
So I really don't know, and that's why everybody is wondering, because there were some changes, you know, made in the Senate. They sent it back down, and, you know, Chairman Garrett and Chairman Orr kept talking about how they were really close, and we don't want to go to conference. We want to, you know, send this thing to the governor, but they didn't. And so that makes people really nervous, thinking they had a pretty, you know, final edition in the what passed out of the Senate. So we'll see. I don't know any particular issue that they are far apart on, but even the little things like $10 million for summer meals is a big deal. You know, any change like that would be a big deal. So everybody's watching.
Well, and the I've forgotten where it is right now. If it passed in the midst of all the other kerfluffles, I may have lost sight of it. But the child care tax credit that's part of the workforce development package is supposed to travel with the education budget, if I'm not mistaken. Is it passed already? Do you know?
Not final passage, but it passed through the Senate, so it's ready. But yeah, you're right. It's supposed to travel along with the ETF, and so because that's what pays for it. And so we expect all those to be sent to the governor this week.
Okay. Well, 2 days to go, man, and then you can breathe easier next week, right?
Hope so. Fingers crossed. I appreciate it, Phil.
All right, man. Take care. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. You can find them at aldailynews.com. And he's also the host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television every Friday night. Does great interviews with legislators and others. So, all right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and I'll take some text messages and sort of wrap that one up. But, man, we're going to jump into a topic next, dealing with anti-Semites. I'm going to want some feedback from y'all on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.